Hello, this is astrologer Shelley Enteen, and I'd like to tell you my impression of the astrology for this coming full moon in Aries, 6 degrees of Aries, on Friday the 29th at 5:58 a.m. And it seems to need its own podcast, I believe. I think that because of what I'm seeing, of course, but also because it isn't long before you are going to be seeing our solar eclipse at the new moon at 21 degrees of Libra. So the energy that's culminating at this full moon has messages for us, strong messages, because of the fact that the Aries moon, of course, is opposite the sun in Libra. And also because the south node in Libra is there and Mars is in conjunction to it. And of course, this is enough to make us, it should be enough to make us sit up and take notice when the ruler of the north node joins the south node. It talks about karmic action. Karma comes home to roost. You know, and it's interesting that we are not long after the equinox, which was when the sun entered Libra, 6 days, in fact, because the sun is now at 6 Libra. So, but the interesting thing about Libra as it ushers us into the fourth quarter phase of the solar cycle is, as we know, when we are looking at the lunar fourth quarter, that is a time where it is said that karma comes due and we start to look at authenticity of self and what are we doing and is that giving us the kind of fulfillment that it should or would if we were being authentically who we are. Okay? So there is a big issue. And with the south node in Libra, one of the things we look at is the fact that south node may not want to rock the boat and will be less inclined to speak up and tell the truth about something or some things because it might cause problems with others or problems in the world. So this is a time when we're looking at the authenticity of self and we're looking at a need to move out of this people-pleasing, not wanting to make a decision, a firm decision, not wanting to actually stand up for the vows that we have made to some truth or other. This is now coming in for us at a full moon, which is going to be revealing as the light is strong at night. We have more light on full moon, right? For a whole day, because now we get the light all night. And at the time of this full moon in the Eastern time zone, it's still Eastern Daylight Time, in Washington, D.C., I said it for that, we are looking at the idea of having our instinctive energies in the place of our north node, which isn't conjunct, however, but the ruler of that moon in Aries is also the ruler of the north node, and that is in Libra. So at this time, the full moon is going to reveal how you are being in relationship to the world. Not just your primary relationships with people, but how are you dealing with your presentation of self, authentic presentation of self And what you truly feel is just and represents honesty and mutual understanding. Not just I'm going to let you get away with this for whatever reason, but mainly because I don't want to feel upset coming back at me. Okay? Or, you know, this is really an interesting experience. We have also got, at the time of this full moon, Pallas Athena conjunct this moon. And she is that asteroid. She is the wisdom warrior. And some of the people who were born with Pallas conjunct the planet, I'll give you one in the government of the United States. It's AOC, they call her. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She is a take-no-prisoners, tell-it-like-it-is person. You know, and that's because she's really intensely that way, because her Pallas is conjunct her Aries moon. Now, this Pallas is in Libra with the Libra sun, but still, with Mars in Libra now, conjunct the south node, there is a lot more opportunity or energy for us to speak up, speak out, tell the truth. But we need to know how to do that, even with the Mars energy there. Again, Mars and Libra fight for peace, passionate about, you know, this issue. The legal issues that we're looking at out there in the world are amazing right now in the United States. I don't know a lot about world events, but I know there's a war right now that's on the center of the world event stage, where there is a desire, a strong desire, to bring justice and peace into the situation. But there are also needs to do this in a way that doesn't activate anger, but you still do it. You know, ways to communicate. How can you have the discussion? How can you have these very important dialogues on the world stage or in your own life and be able to come to some agreement? I was walking a labyrinth this day that I'm recording this. It's the equinox day. And one of the things that came to me was the fact that we usually get angry because we're afraid of something. We're upset that we may not get what we want or what we need, or we may not get what's necessary for us, right? So we go into an angry position over this. So even, you know, people who are angry at either side of an argument or a political situation are in that space of fear of not getting what we need. And so it is important for us to understand that and take the position that we don't act out of fear. The North Node in Aries is conjunct Eris. That is opposite Mars also. And Mars is the brother of Eris. Eris is a warrior in her own right, and now she's in Aries. And she is the cage rattling. She can sometimes goad us into doing things that we shouldn't do. If we thought about it a little more, maybe we wouldn't do. But she can also rattle a cage where it needs to be rattled. And with the North Node, the suggestion is that she's doing just that. And so we are in a square aspect to Pluto with this nodal and Eris and Mars to Pluto in Capricorn. And aren't we all looking at the situation of who's in power and old archaic structures that don't want to shift and change to be appropriate to new times. I mean, everybody's looking at that in their personal life also. So this north node in Aries with Eris is trine Venus and Leo, who's sitting exactly the same 22nd degree of Leo, which is the significant degree of Venus's transiting experience with her retrograde and her direct motion. So what is Juno? Juno is the wife energy. She is the women's rights energy. She is the executive female. So here we are with this combination trying to help us through which sign? Leo. The idea of loyalty. Loyalty to what we believe in. Loyalty to what we know is best and just and true, and how we can move ahead and go into the future and do this with the heart energy that is what Leo is about. So, you know, it's a difficult thing for us because we have our images from the past of what things will look like, how you have to struggle, you know, to get things. It has to be a fight, you know. But does it? You know, or is that just what we believe? Again, coming from the fear that we might not get what we want. Now, what's interesting to me also is that this moon and sun have a square and two squares, so they actually form a cardinal cross, grand cross, with an asteroid and a centaur. And the asteroid that they are squaring is Vesta in Cancer. So Vesta in Cancer, well, Vesta is the keeper of the hearth, right? So she is the center point of our foundational feeling of safety, our home, our family. And so Vesta isn't just a passive keeper. She will go to great lengths and fight for what she feels is important. And here again, the importance of security for the home and family and security for our larger home. Cancer also represents the people of a nation. All right. And what we have opposite her, activating both the opposition to her, but also the square to this Libra-Aries axis, is the Centaur Pholus at 5 degrees of Capricorn. And so Pholus is known for taking the lid off something that has been an ancestral lineage issue, something that hasn't been allowed to be seen or be freed. And so Pholus in Capricorn speaks about taking the lid off, again, the traditional or the conservative or the structures that we have been dealing with, and what is revealed when the wine pours forth, and usually this other centers come rushing in to show you where your ego is and what you need to do to relieve yourself of some kind of a pattern. But it's also a centaur that has the issue of listening to your gut instinct. And your gut instincts, as we know, are coming from a plane beyond the thought and the ego thoughts, but just a response to what's so for you. So this is another way. This is activating that need for the authenticity, that culmination point now, you know, where this moon in Aries is speaking instinctively of your reaction, response. This is your I am. And the moon is sitting with Okiro, who's a centaur, the daughter of Chiron and Chiriclo, who is a prophet. She gets in trouble because she says things that the powers that be doesn't want to hear. But there she is. She is this energy of listen. So you may need to learn how to tone your truth saying, your need to dialogue, which is very important. I mean, you can go on and on with something, not communicating with someone else. And it gets worse and worse because you don't really know what the other person feels or what's going on with them. You know, and if you approach them with an attack, it's not going to be so great. You know, people will always respond to an attack unless they happen to be a spiritual master with, you know, being upset and angry and withdrawing from you or attacking you back. So we have to learn how to approach the needed discussions, those things we need to do, to be honest and truthful and be our true selves in a way that allows us to be heard. You know, and one of those ways is to start with the sense of being on each other's side. It's not like you're really fighting against each other. It's like you want to make something work. And you want everybody to get what they need. So this is something for our personal lives. I don't know how much we'll see that on the outer world stage. I haven't seen a lot of that. But who knows? Maybe we can call it in. So much is going on. This Venus Juno is square Uranus, exactly 22 degrees Uranus, retrograde in Taurus. Okay, so Venus rules Taurus, so she understands a little bit about the Taurus position. But, you know, there is this idea that something's going to have to break. There's going to be, you know, surprising shifts, and maybe it'll be too much. Well, we are seeing a lot of that in the world itself, literal physical world. So Venus would like to have things, you know, let's say she's looking for higher wages, for instance, money for the Juno folks, the females who would like to have equal pay for equal work or whatever that is. And this is like upsetting the apple cart of the conservative money issues, Uranus and Taurus. So we have that going on. But we also have a yod taking place between that Mars and Libra and that Uranus and Taurus, that sextile Neptune in Pisces. So this is one of the things that we have to learn how to dialogue about. And the other is the Neptunian, Neptune in Pisces, that doesn't work with the Mars and Libra, because this is the idea of either not being able to bring it into the open, you know, murky, unknown, maybe even deceptive energies, you know, that need to be handled so that the dialogue can be clear and honest. Honesty is an issue for Libra. And so, you know, again, the South Node is manifesting the lower nature more, again, and that is not being as honest as we could be because we fear the result. So, again, that's the fear. So, this is why I felt like it was important to speak to you about this time with a separate podcast. I did a big equinox podcast at the beginning of the weekly astrology forecast last week, and I ended up with a 44-minute podcast because that was so important also. And if you haven't heard it, if you listen to it, you'll get even a deeper idea of what this Libra cycle, how important this Libra cycle is for us this time. And maybe next year too, because, you know, the nodal axis will still be functioning. Yeah. And so you should be looking, if you know in your birth chart where 24 degrees of Libra or Aries or cardinal signs of Cancer and Capricorn are, if they're near there, or the 21st degree, which is the Mars in Libra degree, this would be helpful for you to know, as well as where is that axis of the full moon falling? Because where the moon is what the stage will be filled with light, you know. And in the chart for Washington, D.C., it is in the house of law. It's in the Libra house. So, you know, we have an idea on the 29th. I mean, there's so much going on. You know, it's not a surprise to see what's happening there. Yes, not surprising. But in our own lives, this axis is somewhere, the house in your chart that's holding the transit of Libra, 6 degrees Libra, and also holding the transit of the moon in Aries. Having that full moon is significant for you. If you don't know and you need to know, then you should contact me. Getting a natal chart reading now in the cycle of these eclipses with all this important emphasis going on, and then moving into a new year, learning what is leaving you for this next year, and looking where to plant your seeds is a good idea. So that's my take on the Aries full moon, September 29th. It's 5:58 a.m. And when, if you're on the East Coast, you will see, it will be hard to see when it's daytime in other areas. Because, you know, the moon is, a full moon would be under the earth. But in this time zone, the sun has not risen yet. So the moon is setting in the west. So if you have the opportunity to be up, or even, you know, if you're not, you know, you will be seeing before you go to bed an approach, a very near approach to the full moon, you know, the real full moon. But if you're up at 5:58 a.m. in the Eastern time zone, you will see it exactly full. And it will be high enough off the horizon for you to be able to, you know, take out your cell phone, get a great shot. Okay. Best wishes with all of this for you, and I will say goodbye for now.